This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for listening. You can be a part of this fine production, 855-752-4842. Jess P.S. on the board, on the horn. And we got Maggie Dawn because it is Tuesday. It is overtime with Maggie Dawn. You can check her out 2 to 4 p.m. here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Maggie, thanks for sticking around. Good to see you.
Good to see you too, Dom. Happy to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. You had a great interview today. And if you missed it, go check out the podcast, civicmedia.us. Jeff Mandel from Law Forward, and the topic of that conversation I want to briefly touch on with you, Maggie. Former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman facing disciplinary complaint tied to the 2020 election probe. Now, this is the guy that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss apparently
handpicked,
and then later was really felt bad about that because he's not a great guy. Felt bad about that pick, apparently. But there were repercussions from this guy, not only spending millions of dollars, but also violating pretty much every ethics code a judge may have. A little bit from the reporting here, the complaint alleges Gableman made public accusations of improper, possibly unlawful activity by the Madison mayor and the Green Bay mayor. And the complaint says, quote, Gableman had no tangible, verifiable, objective, persuasive evidence to support his assertions. Gableman's accusations caused serious reputational damage to the public officials involved. Maggie, I know Jeff Mandel has some thoughts on this, and I'm glad that this is finally coming to fruition. It's been some time since Law Forward filed their complaint, but now it looks like this is something's happening here, Maggie. So what's your take?
Jeff, I think, put it best, and I completely agreed with his bottom line assessment. First, Jeff pointed out that the attorney code of ethics that attorneys must agree to abide by in the state of Wisconsin is extremely long and detailed. And by Jeff's summary, he said that Michael Gableman basically violated every single sentence of the attorney's ethical oath. This does not, I mean, the fact that his violations are that numerous and extensive, given all of the public reporting, and I'm sure there are some things that the OLR uncovered in its own investigation, surprises me not one whit.
So what's the best case scenario here? I mean, of the things that I've heard, I have no doubt that he violated those ethical standards. I mean, the guy wanted to, you know, bring people in, confiscate their property, and, you know, interview them behind closed doors at the strip mall that he was at in order to, you know, push this BS theory. And I think that's the underlying thing that bothers me the most. This was all an effort, a false effort to cast shade on our election process. Maggie, what would you like to see happen in this case?
I'd like Michael Gableman to be disbarred. There's no question that the man should be disbarred. If this was any other attorney and it was about any other set of issues or conduct, there's no question the lawyer would have been disbarred. And that the OLR probably would have initiated an investigation on its own without a catalyzing complaint, which is what Jeff Mandel and Law Forward did. They filed that, back in March of 2023. Any other lawyer in any other circumstance with this litany of violations would without a doubt be disbarred. You cannot lie to courts repeatedly. You cannot withhold evidence. You cannot intimidate people. You cannot threaten it was basically sort of, he didn't specify like a particular threat, but overall demeanor. He said some really disparaging things about women on a hot mic in a court hearing. Absolutely abhorrent behavior. He had conflicts of interest he didn't disclose. He submitted false affidavits. I mean, like,
I mean, you're an attorney.
Which
you're not
kind
supposed
of
to
lie? And like, right. Yep, he did it in an affidavit and testimony, behaved like a horse's patoot in hearings. He was disruptive. Again, false statements, sworn statements to the assembly itself. Oh, seizing property from the mayors of Green Bay and Madison, which is sort of what
I mean,
led
how
to some
authoritarian, man. Yeah. I mean, this is like a little Trumpster, got a little fiefdom going on down here. According to the OLR complaint, Gableman filed petitions containing false statements when he attempted to seize property, as you mentioned, Maggie, from the mayors of Green Bay and Madison. I mean, right off the bat, under what authority do you have Mr. Gableman to grab anybody's property ever? Made false statements to and withheld information from a state assembly committee regarding the responses from Green Bay and Madison mayors to subpoenas issued to them, engaged in the disruptive behavior at a June 2021 court hearing, as you mentioned, false statements about the integrity of a judge, false derogatory and demeaning public statements about opposing counsel, violated the state's open records law, accepted his role in the probe without disclosing conflicts of interest, abandoned his duty to former clients by publicly promoting efforts to recall Voss, and submitted a false affidavit to the OLR, who is making the complaint. I mean, when you're like lying to the watchdog about the lies that you did over the years, I think you're in pretty deep guano there. So the worst case, or best case for us, worst case for Gableman, Maggie, is he can get disbarred. Any fines, any criminal activity associated with this?
This is not criminal. This is a purely civil matter that's only and exclusively about attorney licensure. There could potentially be a monetary penalty. He destroyed records. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And let me just say this, full disclosure, I have, I think, had 3 or 4 complaints filed against me over the course of my 21-year career as a lawyer in the state of Wisconsin. 3 of them were ticked off opposing counsel in my capacity as Milwaukee County's chief legal officer, which were just... And frankly, 2 of the lawyers that filed those weren't really fully. I won't even go there. There were issues with the quality of the lawyering from the other side. Sure. I am the head of the office, so they filed a complaint. 2, I didn't even have to respond to. 1, I did. And these things sometimes happen. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
But even when I knew the complaints were utterly unmeritorious. Oh, and the 4th one I had was I helped a friend get a temporary restraining order against her abusive husband. He happened to be a sheriff's deputy. And so he yielded a weapon. And as in the course of the TRO, he has to give up the gun. And he was very angry about that because it got him fired. And anyways, he came after me in the OLR. But even in these cases where my disciplinary complaints were utterly meritless, I took them seriously. I responded candidly. I provided all of the information and then some that was requested. I didn't exaggerate. I didn't dare mislead the OLR. This is serious stuff. And also in full candor, if anybody Googles me, I once got suspended. My license was suspended in the state of Wisconsin because I failed to file during COVID the required paperwork to demonstrate my compliance with the continuing legal educational requirements.
Maggie, paperwork crimes.
And they ripped. Yeah, my license was suspended. It's like an administrative suspension. Did we get your paperwork? Okay, now it's. But like that tells you this stuff matters, right? And even then, I took that really seriously. I hired a lawyer that does all like ethics compliance because I care about this. I didn't go willy-nilly. I share all of that, 1, in the interest of full disclosure so nobody can call me a hypocrite, but 2, to share with all of you out there and you, Dom, like this stuff matters. It's serious. And the impunity with which Michael Gableman has conducted himself at all points in time, in his run to be a Supreme Court justice, which led to his first disciplinary investigation, right?
Mm-hmm.
his conduct of the investigation itself, his conduct in court, his conduct before the legislature, and apparently his very responses to the OLR investigation indicates a guy that thinks that he can do whatever the hell he wants. And I don't care what side of the bread your political bread is buttered on, that kind of behavior is bad for democracy, and it is bad for each and every one of you.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is the award-winning host, Maggie Dawn, from the Maggie Dawn Show, 2 to 4 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Apparently, according to, I think it was just your point at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Voss could not be reached for comment. But earlier this year, he told WISN TV's Upfront that he hoped Gabelman would be disbarred. Now, this is Robin Voss, the Republican who hired him after jumping on a plane with Trump to put him in charge and gave him basically an open checkbook, millions of dollars spent. My understanding, Gabelman spent the first few months in the library because he didn't know what was going on while he's cashing the checks as the supposed expert. How much responsibility does Robin Voss and the Republicans and ultimately MAGAs and Trump, do you think, bear in this issue?
From a moral perspective, their responsibility is equal to, if not greater than, Mr. Gabelman's. Mr. Gabelman was facially completely unqualified to conduct this investigation. Selection of Mr. Gabelman was not based on his qualifications. His selection by Assembly Speaker Voss was because the guy was unhinged, out of control, intimidating. By the way, his first ethics complaint dealt with what I'm going to call like really abhorrent behavior and judgment. Yeah, that's why they picked him, because the guy will do and say anything. It was to find someone who doesn't care what the rules are to engage in a partisan big lie about the election. All Robin Voss needed to do was do what he knew to be true on the facts and tell people the election was fair and transparent and nothing was wrong. Instead, he decided to light a million plus taxpayer dollars, your dollars, on fire to have a loose cannon with no business in an investigation let loose on our election processes and let loose against our neighbors and friends that staff our election systems across the state. Shame.
Or as perhaps Mega would say, if Matt Gaetz doesn't work out, the next Attorney General of the United States, Michael Gabelman. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That's Maggie Dawn. We got Just PS on the board coming back with more. Yes, we have what? Mace, a congresswoman, Nancy Mace from South Carolina. Well, she's got lots of big plans at the Capitol. Stick around.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
To the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. We got overtime with Maggie Dawn. She's sticking around for one more segment. You check her show out on the Civic Media Radio Network, 2 to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday's podcast available at civicmedia.us. Maggie, before we went to break, mentioned Rep. Nancy Mace from South Carolina introducing a resolution to ban transgender women from female bathrooms in the Capitol, apparently just 2 weeks after Democrat Sarah McBride of Delaware became the first openly trans person elected to Congress. Now, while McBride has not yet joined Congress, she'll be among the freshman class being sworn in on January. Mace's resolution would amend House rules to block McBride and any other trans person visiting the Capitol from using bathrooms associated with their gender identity. We have some sound of Nancy.
Let's hear
what Nancy had to say.
Sure. Is this effort in response to Congresswoman McBride's coming to Congress?
Yes, and absolutely, and then some. I'm not going to stand for a man. If someone with a penis is in the women's locker room, that's not okay. And I'm a victim of abuse myself. I'm a rape survivor. I have PTSD from the abuse I've suffered at the hands of a man. And I know how vulnerable women and girls are in private spaces. So I'm absolutely 100% going to stand in the way of any man who wants to be in a women's restroom, in our locker rooms, in our changing rooms. I will be there fighting you every step of the way.
She goes on to say, Maggie, quote, "This is about women and our right to privacy, our right to safety. I'm not going to allow biological men into women's private spaces. This, it is the height of hypocrisy." Well, we saw lots of anti-trans ads, and now this continues. Maggie Dawn, your thoughts.
Hey, Nancy, how about you introduce a resolution to ban credibly accused sexual assaulters and rapists from using bathrooms in the Capitol? How about that?
Half of a cabinet wouldn't be able to use the restrooms there.
That would be interesting. Yeah. How about this? I just talked about in the last half hour of my show the fact that in the last 4 weeks I've been physically groped in public by three different men. In my 47 years, here's what's never happened to me. I've never been touched by a trans person without my consent. I've never been assaulted by a trans person. I've never been verbally assaulted by a trans person. And I know a number of trans people. That has never happened. So, Nancy, I respect the fact and acknowledge that you have suffered an assault. But why don't we be angry and direct our anger at the people who actually assault women? And that is men like Matt Gaetz, like Pete Hegseth, like Donald Trump, like Brett Kavanaugh. Let's be angry at the people that actually make women unsafe. If you care about women's safety, can we start with that?
And I got to throw in there, Maggie, we're adults. You know, we're adults. When we went to the DNC in Philly in 2016, there were shared bathrooms. Men, women, I mean, that you just went in and everyone was using the bathroom. Women were doing their makeup and men were using the stalls or using the urinals. Whatever the case was, there were men and women in the bathroom. And oh my goodness, nobody gave a damn. Everybody was just doing their thing because it's a bathroom and we are adults. So the bigotry continues with Nancy Mace and the Megas and Republicans. And specifically because McBride is now joining. And she doesn't want McBride to have any say in this. Of course, isn't this the whole point? Trans people, set aside. Go away. We don't want you here. You are not relevant here. We don't like you. We're uncomfortable by you. So therefore, we're going to demean you and make you the other. And it continues on.
And here's what I'll say about Nancy Mace. The word thirsty was invented for Nancy Mace. Her staff has turned over, I think, like almost two times in its entirety. She had directives that you need to get me on national news like once a week. This woman will say or do damn near anything to get attention. It's stupid. And there are institutions of higher learning where they have dormitories that are mixed men and women together, where the bathrooms are shared. Again,
yes.
It's the halls of Congress. Come on. One of the things about Nancy Mace, and I've thought about covering her a number of times on my show, is that I don't want to give any water to the thirsty gal. You're ridiculous. She is a complete clown. She is generally considered a clown by other Republicans. She's considered a clown by her own staffers. When everyone that's, quote, on your team thinks you're ridiculous, I don't got time for that. because Congress actually has some stuff to pay attention to and maybe worry about, and it ain't their bathrooms. You know what I'm saying? I don't think regular people in America, regular middle-class people, need Congress people worried about the bathrooms in Congress. I think that they want them worried about taxing billionaires more, getting money out of politics, and ending the corruption. Drain the swamp. Trump is building the swamp. Nancy, maybe pay attention there. And again, if you want to care about women's safety, why don't you look at the credibly accused sexual assaulters that have been nominated to lead some of our country's most important administrative departments? Shame.
And speaking of most important administrative departments, in the last 60 seconds, Maggie Dawn, your thoughts on the Duffmeister to run transportation. I don't know if you saw this. Dr. Oz to run Medicare and Medicaid agencies.
If you want your Medicare, Medicaid to go away, that's a good Dr. Oz move. He's never run anything in his entire life, let alone his own mouth well in a campaign. Here's what Sean Duffy's resume says. I was on The Real World, and then I ran multiple times in a gerrymandered deep ruby red district, and then became a Fox News host talking head. He's not a host, he just is on there. That's his entire qualification stream to become a cabinet level secretary. Whatever, Sean.
I can't wait to see what Donald Trump has in store for Nancy Bass and what cabinet position she may take on. Folks, that is Maggie Dawn. This is Overtime with Maggie Dawn, but work is done. You can check her out once again on the Civic Media Radio Network, Monday through Fridays, 2 to 4 p.m. preceding the show. Maggie, thank you once again. Have a great week. We'll talk real soon. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. I got to tell you, I'm in a mood. You're going to hear all about it on the other side.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. At Jess P.S. on the board, you on the horns as well. Join us at your convenience. I want to thank Maggie Dawn, the Overtime with Maggie Dawn, here on Tuesdays. Once again, check her show out, 2 to 4 p.m., Monday through Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm just in a mood. I got to tell you, I got so many things. I feel like it should be Friday, like airing the grievances. I got a lot of things to say, and now you people are going to hear about it. Let's start with Trump's New York criminal trial. According to CBS News, President-elect Trump's six-year New York triple trial odyssey might need to continue at least another four, prosecutors said today. Lawyers for Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg wrote in a letter to Justice Juan Merchan that Trump should not be sentenced for his crimes until after he completes his second term in office. That would be the year 2029, more than a decade after the investigation into Trump's cover-up of hush money payment began.
Yeah, and that assumes a lot of things. Like, you know, he makes it to that 82 mark.
Or he doesn't do a third term.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we don't know.
We don't know. He's floated it.
Consideration must be given to various non-dismissal options that may address the any concerns raised by the pendency of a post-trial criminal proceeding during this presidency, such as deferral of all remaining criminal proceedings until after the end of the defendant's upcoming presidential term. Merchan had been slated to rule on November 12th on whether presidential immunity should have prevented jurors from seeing certain evidence at Trump's trial this spring, but he postponed his decision. Merchan said he wanted to hear from prosecutors about how to proceed in the case, which entered uncharted terrain when Trump was reelected president. Congratulations, folks. He got away with it. He freaking got away with it. He continues to get away with it. The criming, the grift, because butter was too high. And now he's going to what? He's going to put tariffs on everything, so he claims. I mean, that's his campaign promise. And he's going to, what, export, deport millions of workers that are employed in the dairy industry and the food service industry, construction industry, causing prices to rise, if that is actually to come to fruition, breaking up families, causing strife. You're going to deploy the military in the streets of this country in that endeavor. And now the criminal continues to get away with it. What are the chances coming out at the end of 2029 that Donald Trump goes right out of the White House and into a jail cell? I mean, just for 30 days. I mean, even at that. I mean, you know, you got to do something. Otherwise, why not? Everyone gets away with it. Oh, just go be president. Yeah. It'll be fine. So there's the lesson, folks. All you little megas out there teaching all you little mega kids, just tell them. None of it matters. You can get away with it so long as you're rich, white, and powerful. And you can do whatever you want. And that will be rewarded, not just in our judicial system, not just in our political system, but also in our journalism. Which brings us back to Joe and Mika. You know, when it came out that the Morning Joe crew went down to open communications with Trump at Mar-a-Lago, my initial reaction was, what?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm reactionary a lot. You know, sometimes I'll hear like a new song. I'm like, oh, I like that song. And then I hear a few more times. I'm like, oh, that's not so bad. So I want to give myself a little time to, you know, digest.
Sure, sat with it.
Yeah, you know. And I'm still a little angry about it.
Yeah.
And these are some super uber privileged right wing leaning lefty talkers that decided that what they were concerned enough to go open communications with Trump. Some of the reporting, I believe this is from yesterday. Let's see here. Yes, from yesterday, they revealed they went to Mar-a-Lago. And a back and forth that the husband and co-wife scripted ahead of time. Did you see? We played a little bit of this. They literally went down like he had her part to say, or he had his part to say, she had her part to say. They scripted this thing. They knew there was going to be some blowback. And I think rightfully so. Scarborough said, we didn't see eye to eye on a lot of issues, and we told him so. But what we did agree on was to restart communications, suggesting that their behavior should be a model for others. So let's restart the communications with the biggest threat to democracy ever, the fascists. I mean, all the things that have been said by specifically Mika and Joe. And I'm not disagreeing with some of the terrible descriptions they laid on the man. I think it is apt and I think it is appropriate. But if that's the case, you're going to open lines of communication with the fascist? How does that work exactly? Updated reporting on this today. Brian Stelter over at CNN. Morning Joe meeting with Trump was driven by fears of retribution from incoming administration, sources say. Now, this was from this morning, an update. Morning Joe co-host Scarborough and Brzezinski announced Monday in dramatic fashion they went to Mar-a-Lago. In private conversation, Scarborough argued that having FaceTime with a world leader is a no-brainer. Some of his MSNBC colleagues agreed, but there was more to the Mar-a-Lago meeting. According to two sources with direct knowledge of the matter, Scarborough and Brzezinski were credibly concerned that they could face governmental and legal harassment from the incoming Trump administration. Governmental and legal harassment.
So they went down to what? Make nice and say, hey, We'll be on your side. We'll cover you. No, nice.
We're just going to open up lines of communication.
Okay.
Knowing that Trump has threatened retribution against his perceived political opponents and that Trump has promoted lies about Scarborough and Brzezinski in the past, the MSNBC host decided to reach out to the president-elect, sources told CNN. The two sources generally agreed with Scarborough and Brzezinski's impression of the situation at hand, namely that the incoming Trump administration could use its wide-ranging powers to punish people deemed enemies. And parentheticals.
Well, that's a long list.
Right. Trump ally Elon Musk wrote on X overnight in a post supporting Matt Gaetz for attorney general that America needs Gaetz to put powerful bad actors in prison. Within MSNBC, one of the country's most prominent progressive media brands, there are a variety of opinions about what Trump and his allies might do. For that reason, there are a wide range of feelings about the Morning Joe meeting, according to a half a dozen employees who spoke on the condition of anonymity. Some hosts and employees took a realpolitik view, pardon me, of the matter, saying that access to the president-elect is a valuable part of reporting and covering the news. Others said the meeting was a troubling early sign of capitulation to a political leader who MSNBC has portrayed day after day as a would-be dictator. Shortly after the Mar-a-Lago meeting was publicized, lawyer and MSNBC host Katie Fang posted on social media, "Normalizing Trump is a bad idea, period." The post was widely perceived to be a response to Scarborough and Brzezinski. Monday morning's big reveal led some media observers to suspect that the Morning Joe hosts thought they might be singled out for political prosecutions. Other MSNBC personalities have also privately wondered if they would be targeted. There's more. You can find that at the CNN.com. All right. So what is it yesterday? A paraphrase, I think George Orwell, other people have apparently said this as well. You know, journalism is writing what people don't want to be written. Everything else is PR or everything else is marketing. You know, if you want friends, get a dog. You know, Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski are not worried about paying the cable bill. If there is somebody who has a national audience with a big network behind them, NBC, with the resources to pull it off, former conservative Joe Scarborough, whatever, you know, it's them. You are the people that are supposed to absolutely stand up to this guy. The dude said, like, 2 weeks ago, if people are going to shoot at Trump, he wouldn't mind if they shot through the media to get him. Yeah, I don't mind if they get shot. What? And you're going to go down there and kiss the ring, bend the knee, kiss some ass? Are you kidding me? Targeted for what? What did you do, Joe? We know Donald Trump has accused you of murdering your intern. We know Donald Trump has said Mika had a, when last time they visited back years ago, she came down and her face was all bloody from the bad face job she got, the plastic surgery. I mean, this is the kind of, this is what you want? This is more of this? You're going to normalize that? You're supposed to speak truth to power. And you got the money, you got the background, you got the credibility, and you're going to go down there and kiss his ass. And that just bothers me to no end. I mean, literally, are you really worried? You think Donald Trump, you think Matt Gaetz is going to send the stormtroopers into the studio? You think that's going to happen? I'd love to see it happen. Bring it on. I don't know if any of you know this, but I will remind you as a 13-year journalist and show host, I was unduly harassed and singled out by government when I was unconstitutionally arrested at the Wisconsin State Capitol for the crime of standing in the Capitol watching other people get arrested. Oh, yeah, that happened. That was back during the protest. I mean, it's after the main protest, but the Solidarity sing-along singers, they went there every day, noon to one, just to sing silly songs and harass Scott Walker, the governor at the time. And I was there to observe it. Week after week, day after day, we did this. And eventually, Walker and the Republicans got their undies in a bundle and decided to do something about the silly songs that were being directed at them. So they created or changed some administrative code to make it a violation. And oh, if you had this many people doing this and it was, you needed to get a permit to protest. Yeah. These Republicans, you know, the Freedom Republicans, you got to get a permit to protest. Okay. Of course, the Solidarity sing along, they were not going to have anything to do with that, and they weren't pulling a permit. And as time went on, it was getting more and more people. Well, finally, the Walker administration set up a sandwich board in the middle and said, all right, this is it. If you're singing now, you are participating in an unsanctioned protest, and we're going to arrest you. I was like, ooh, damn, that seems kind of harsh and unconstitutional, but okay. So I went down, me and Crudy went down and check it out. By the time I arrived, I'm known to be a little late sometimes. Crudy had already been arrested and processed and back out again. I walk in, literally, I think it's 7 minutes from when I close my car door on the Capitol Square, walked into whatever corridor it was. And if you've been to the Capitol, there's many corridors, and happened to just run into Crudy right there. He's got his entire life in a Ziploc bag. I got arrested. All right, let's go in and check it out. Go in. Bunch of people still hanging around. Some people singing slowly, slowly. And there I was as a member of the media, just observing, taking pictures, you know, getting ready to formulate a plan for a conversation on the radio later that day. And what happens? Well, out of the corner of my eye, I can see him coming. Man, you can smell it. If you've ever been in, you know, I wasn't always bacon. It wasn't, I wasn't always an upstanding, you know, show host. You know, I did a few crimes in my life, you know, never convicted. But I saw him coming. So I put my phone on record and put it in my pocket. And they walk up to me and said, sorry, sir, you're participating in an unsanctioned, unlawful protest and you have to leave. I'm like, well, man, I was just sitting here and reading the sign, taking pictures like everybody else. No, sir, you got to go. Now I'm at this moment in my time. I know I'm not doing anything wrong. Do I punch Officer Fell, who's a little short guy? I mean, I could have taken him. He's about as tall as you, Jess. Do I do that? Because that's always going to be bad when you start fighting the cops. So I complied. I turned around and started to walk away. Oh, so slowly. And the officer, the main guy there, nope, 95 of them. Oh, sorry, sir, you're under arrest. For what? Well, you're under arrest. I'll tell you what, for harassment. Because I was the long-haired, you know, talking on the progressive. I mean, you guys know me. I voted for Scott Walker in the recall, for crying out loud. You know, this isn't, you know, I wasn't there like throwing bombs. I was just literally hanging out with long hair and flip-flops. I didn't wear my flip-flops today, although it was nice enough out here. And I do have a shorter hair now. That's harassment. I know a little bit about that. And I settled with the state for $75,000 for it. Bring it. 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It is a phone line. It is a text line. We got these texters jumping in here. Cam from Appleton, my old stomping ground, says, of Mika and Joe, regardless of them being two-faced, they thought saving, quote-unquote, their own hides is worth wasting the president-elect's time, question mark? They're full of themselves. Mm-hmm. Reader Steve from La Crosse, also my old stomping grounds, man.
Yeah. You got a lot of stomping grounds.
I've been around, Jess. I've been around. They say, went down to kiss the ring, so sick of us, I don't know who's going to save us. Well, Rita or Steve, here's the big secret. Nobody's coming to save you. You got to save yourself. You know what I'm saying? That ain't happening, folks. And if you think going down and acquiescing and kissing a ring, kissing ass to the fascist is a great idea, well, you know, then there's a spot on MSNBC for you. What else we got here? Dom from Catherine in Madison. Oh, okay. I never lived in Madison, although I do go there quite a bit.
A light walking ground?
Right,
not quite stomping.
Not stomping.
But...
Dom, reporting the news has always been dangerous. Reporters can even get killed depending on the circumstances. Oh, yeah. Look what's going on all around the world. Journalists are dying all the time. So there's real danger for journalism. And again, you know, the press is in the Constitution, freedom of the press. And I was looking for the specific quote, but I got the impression, and I don't have it, but here's my takeaway. That Mika and Joe are there to save the press, right? They're going down there to save journalism because it's been so you know, tough on Donald Trump. You know, there's a lot of banging heads. It's confrontational. They're going to go down there and help save the press. Well, excuse me. You're not saving the press. You do not represent the press. When you say you're going to save the press, or that's the impression you give, and I'm going to open it up to my interpretation. I think you, Joe, I think you, Mika, think that you're doing some grand offering to help save the press from the fascist that you rightly called him. You know how much that sounds like Donald Trump? That only he can fix it? You know what I mean? I kind of get the feeling maybe you, Mika and Joe, are a little proud of the problem. When you come from a place of privilege and wealth and connections and you don't stand up, you got to wait till you got nothing to lose before you stand up? I think it's cowardly. They're not worried about their jobs. They're not worried about, maybe they're worried about their job. Maybe they're worried about their social. I mean, I'm not going to say that. But they're certainly not worried about paying the cable bill. You know what I mean? Like the real problems that people have in this world, they're not dealing with that. They're not saving the press. They're saving their own ass. CNN continued their reporting. Scarborough argued on air Tuesday morning, that's this morning, that the testy's social media reactions, they got a lot of them apparently, were not reflective of the, quote, real world. A quote from Scarborough. We were flooded with phone calls from people all day, literally around the world. Very positive, very supporting, saying, I understand what you did. All of us will do the best we can do, and we're all working toward a better America, he added, prompting Brzezinski to chime in. Take it day by day, people. Day by day, Scarborough affirmed, adding, you can predict the future by shaping the future. And Stelter over at CNN concludes, for now, Scarborough is shaping a less hostile relationship with the incoming president.
Let the sane washing continue.
You know, if you want relationships, get a friend. You want love? Yeah. Get a spouse, get a dog. Cats sometimes love you when they want, you know.
Cats love a lot. They just, you know, show it in different ways.
That they do. You're not there to make friends, Joe Scarborough. I don't know what you're supposed to do. I don't know what your freaking point is. Former conservative talking the stuff, saying how bad he is, and then going down and kissing the ring. Oh, we're going to open up our lines of communication and make it better. Because according to the reporting, you're scared about perhaps a retribution. I had a little retribution, man. Just a little bit. You know, not on a national scale. You know, just a little local here. Just a little local long-haired guy asking questions of Scott Walker and his crew. You know, kind of planting the seed for what we see now in many ways. Planting the seed corn, as Kind would say. been there, done that. And I'd do it again. Are you kidding me? I don't know what Mika and Joe, I mean, what their job description is. I mean, they're hosts, the personalities. Are they asking the hard questions, saying the hard things? Are you going to stop doing that now? Now that you guys opened your communication, is he no longer a threat to democracy? Is he no longer a fascist in waiting? Is he no longer a dictator for a day? And we can run the tape on all the things that you folks have said. And I probably agree with most of it. But here's the problem. I still agree with it. Sure, I'd take Trump live in front of everybody. Not down there kissing ass. You don't go to the man's home and kiss his ass and then come back and think that you're going to not lose some viewership. Yeah, and I know CNN, MSNBC finally beat CNN, I think, in the ratings during this last election cycle. I did not turn on MSNBC today. And CNN's fine. You know, there's plenty of news sources out there, folks. Credibility matters. And this bothers me a whole lot. Come back with us. I can't wait to talk about Jesus and Bibles in the school. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm just getting warmed up, folks. 855-752-4842. Join me.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.